has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him.
And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. It is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
The word will enter your hearts again this evening.
Amen.
Say amen like you believe it.
Amen.
It will give you light.
Amen.
It will give you direction.
Amen.
It will heal you in every area.
Amen.
Spiritually, healing has come to you.
Amen.
It will heal your soul.
Amen.
Heal your emotions.
Amen.
Heal any confusion in your life.
Amen.
It will heal your body.
Amen.
It will kill off every infection.
Amen.
It will kill any tumor that's starting to develop.
Amen.
Or the one that has been diagnosed.
Amen.
They are dead today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He sent his word and the word healed them. The word delivered them from all their destructions. I said you are delivered today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that word is making you exactly like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All
the time. Can we take our seats? Let's get into our school of prayer teaching for this evening. All right, can we open our Bibles, our school of prayer, to the book of Matthew chapter 6. I've been talking about this effective prayer thing, and I believe it's just the word for the moment. For us to pray effectively. And last time I was talking about how faith that is sure, faith that will not disappoint, how it will come into our hearts. And we said that only happens if we have our desires derived from the Word of God. If you have desires derived from interactions with the environment alone, it will change. And the faith will falter as the environment changes. If you are making specific, requests of the Lord, detailed requests, but they are based on things you have seen, after a while, you will not be as confident as you were at the beginning. And I said that Jesus said that in that John chapter 15, abide in me, if my words abide in you, you will ask what you wish, and it will be given to you. Don't ever forget when Jesus is speaking, take the context of his words. Remember, there's always a context. He was speaking to his disciples when he said, you can ask the Father for anything in my name and it will be granted you. What are the conditions around it? It's summarized by a simple expression. If you abide in me and my word abide in you. And what we're saying is that if those words abide in you, they generate something in you. They generate desires. And let me just, at the risk of repeating myself, you can't repeat these things enough. Abraham's desire for Isaac was not based on his own wishes. His prayer about Isaac. When he approached God, he had given up on Isaac, on any of those things happening. So he asked God, what do you give me seeing that I go childless? It was God that came up with the idea again that you will not go childless. I am going to give you a son by your wife Sarah. That was God's idea. So hope, I've been explaining this. Hope is not a wish. Hope is not something you have. You now look for the scripture to make it certain. Hope is a derivative of interaction with the word of God. When you read scriptures, you will see something that God has promised. Are you getting my point? Something that he said that he wants to do. That now gives you a new expectation. It gives you something different to want out of life. That's the point. I like one thing Ken Hagin said in one of his teachings. A woman he went to minister to, all right, the woman was dying from terminal cancer, and he couldn't pray for her to be healed. Why? He said, first, I needed her, do you understand, to expect to live. I needed her to want to live. That is, without her having an expectation, there's no point praying. And that's what God does. When the Bible says that Abraham, in hope, against hope, he believed. What that means is that circumstances around gave him an expectation. Then the word of God produced another expectation. And that was the new hope was birthed. Hope is birthed by God's word. Hope is not birthed by personal desires. Hope is not birthed. You don't get hope out of what the world is showing you. Your hope must be derived from the Word of God. So you see, every interaction in life tries to bring an expectation. It creates a desire in you. If you look at the environment, that's why people, every time you hear them make decisions, you know, before I used to get up pretty upset with people, but now I'm a bit calmer. And the reason is because I know they are not seeing what I'm seeing. I used to think the things that's making me talk are things that everybody could see. I just realized that after interacting with the Word of God for a long time, you have a different expectation from life. You have a different expectation concerning what God will do for you. You have a different expectation concerning what your life will turn out like. And people who are making decisions that you don't like, they don't have that perspective. They don't have that perspective. They have the perspective of newspapers. They have perspectives of the perspective of other people's experiences. So when they are making their decisions, they choose based on what they are expecting. Do you understand my point? That's just the way it is. So there's no point getting angry with them. The only thing you can do is to instruct people. The only thing you can do is to instruct them with God's word. It's only that instruction that can change what the decisions they make. It's not just because you don't like the way the mind is deciding. You can argue until you are blue in the face, except you have a different perspective from God's word presented to a believing person. He or she can never change the decisions they are making in life. That's just the way it is, all right? So when we interact with the word of God, it generates ideas in you. It's very important for us to get it. It generates desires. The word of God generates desires. It makes you want some things, all right? There are things you never thought about before. That's why I was giving Isaac as an example. Isaac was God's idea. When the word of God comes to you, it gives you a different expectation. Now, what you now start doing, you start praying those things into existence. And I want to talk again, of course, we've been talking about this again and again, but we can't say that enough. I want to just explain again how we pray prayers, okay? That God answers. When the Bible says that you pray according to His will, He hears. That is what He's talking about. When you pray according to the word that is written, and you pray for the things that the entrance of that word generated, you will get results. You will get results. Prayer is a weapon that God gave us to overcome in life. It's a tangible weapon. It's a tangible weapon. It's like you are plotting. You are planning something. They say, okay, how much money are we going to need? You say, all we have is 5,000. Say, but we are going to need about 95,000. So they say, okay, what do we do? You say, all right, let's pray about the balance. You say, let's pray about the balance. Like some people will say, let's go and meet the bank manager and let us borrow. You just say it matter of factly. We will pray about the balance. You're not trying to say that, hey, we never can say what God will do. For you, asking God about the balance is as tangible as your friend going to somebody who has and say, please lend me 90,000 because I need it to do this. It is pray about the balance. And you say it matter of factly. We'll pray about it. And you're not saying as if, let's just wish it away. No, I will solve this problem. How will I solve it? I will pray. You are getting my point? That's just the way it works. That's what prayer is. It's a very tangible thing for us as Christians. But how do we get prayers? How do we pray prayers that God will answer? That's what we've been talking about, effective praying. Now, let's just reopen this, open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. How do we pray the prayer that's according to God's will? I made a statement last time. That's actually where I want to pick up from. That prayer is taking God's will and making it your own. That is, when I'm praying effectively, I'm beginning to desire what God desires. I am not trying to get God to change His mind into my own desire. Let me take a moment and explain that. That's Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to get there in a moment, all right? Let's start reading it. Talking about the Lord's Prayer. We talk about that all the time. But please remember what prayer is. It is not me trying to get God to agree with my desires. No. No, no. If you make God change His mind to agree with you, you will not be blessed. I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. Please, if you make God change His mind to agree with you, you will not be blessed. Now, this weekend, we're in Port Harcourt teaching a prayer seminar. And what I taught about the first day, I prepared, all right, of course, you meditate, you pray, and have something in mind. Then that morning, and I said, let me just even pray again. And I began to meditate. And my mind just said, go and study Hannah. So I opened it. And that morning, that first day, that was what I thought on how did Hannah get God to listen to her. What was it that Hannah did that was different? Very important for us to get that point. Now, Hannah, you go and see it. When Hannah made her vow, the way many of us look at it is, and many preachers will teach it, concerning vow, making vows to the Lord. Well, Hannah is our example, and actually she's well misunderstood. That vow to God something, and that thing will provoke God to give to you. So somebody will say, God, if you give me 100 million naira, I will give you 50 million out of it. And you know what God says? Don't worry, I will just keep the 100 million. That way I don't have to share it with anybody. Do you follow my point? If it's a sharing arrangement you are thinking about, think about it. He said, God will say, no, I'll just keep the 100 million. Then I don't have to share it with anybody. Now, follow the point, all right? He said, but Hannah did that. I read my Bible very well, and I found out that Hannah did not give Samuel to God. She did no such thing. The only thing she gave to God was a bullock that was 3 years old. That's all. He said, what about Samuel? God said, Samuel is my own. You just gave him back to me. It's part of the covenant. Every male that opens a womb is mine. I only give you the right to redeem it. And Hannah just said simply, I will not redeem this one. You can keep him. But I will give you the gift of the redemption, which was the bullock that she took to the temple after 3 years. Hannah didn't cook up anything that God never thought of before. God had told them, every male that opens the womb belongs to me. And those who did not do it are the ones that were at fault. Hannah did nothing special. She was just somebody that finally recognized the terms of the covenant. We look at this and she gave God a tremendous gift. It was God said it clearly. This covenant, this boy is mine. She's just one woman who the Lord helped to open, to have open eyes, to let God do what he wanted with what belongs to him. So to save the boy's life, she offered a sacrifice. That boy belongs to God before he was conceived. You see the story of Jeremiah. God let us know it. Paul also let us know it. That every child, before they are conceived, God knows them and he has a purpose for their lives. Paul said, God who knew me from my mother's womb. God says clearly to Jeremiah, before you were formed, I knew you. I consecrated you to be a prophet. What am I going to say? I keep on telling people, you cannot forget this one, promising God. Anything God has never asked for, you can't give him. Don't offer it. It will get into trouble. If you don't see him demanding it, don't offer it. This trying to cut deals with the Lord. If you give me 10 million, I'll give you 5. He doesn't like the deal. Many of us think he likes it, but he doesn't like the deal. If you're a stingy man, become generous. That's good enough. Go read Isaiah chapter 58. He says, this is the fast I have chosen. He now listed his fast. If you see the fast that God said he chose, it's not about food. It's about changing the way you behave. So if you're a stingy man before, don't offer God a percentage of the money that he's going to give you. Just become generous and don't even talk about it. Are you getting my point? Repent of your sins or your sin of love of money, which is the reason why people are not generous. What does it mean to love money? To trust in it. Doesn't mean you look at the money and you are hugging it and you are kissing it. No, that's not the love of money. Love of money means anytime you want to make a decision, is how much money is involved that's up in your mind. That's it. The Lord just says, repent of that. Just repent of it. Repent of it. That's what I'm talking about. You're not coming here, all right, to make a deal with me as if I was hungry, I was broke. If I give you 10 million, you give me 5. It's like we're going to rob a bank, you know, we'll share it. If that was the deal, I keep my money to myself. And that way I have 100%. You're getting my point, yeah? All right, like my son comes with me, daddy, give me 10,000 and I'll promise I'll give you 5,000. So don't worry, 10,000 is with me already. Leave it like that. Why I went into this is this. Prayer is not I'm converting God to my own thoughts. No, it's I'm converting myself to his thoughts. Hannah's issue was that her problem was Penina before. Did you notice that? By the time she went to pray, notice it, she did not say anything about Penina. It's not saying my husband's mother doesn't like me. Not at all. She just went and I don't have time now to go into it again. She went there, spoke to the Lord, asked for mercy, and it was interesting. When I was studying that day, I noticed that the Bible emphasized that after eating and drinking was when she went to pray. You don't believe it? Open your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1. No, open it. People think I'm kidding. Sometimes when I just think people think this guy doesn't know what he's saying. Quickly open it now. You will see that what I'm saying there is so scripture. It is so much the word of God. Now, if you read the story, of course, is the normal story that we all know. Anna will cry, Penina will mock her, they have their disagreements. Then one day, verse 8, when she was crying, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Are you seeing that? Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. You have seen that for the first time, so many of us. Before, when she was not eating, was out of sadness. When her husband encouraged her, the Bible says she ate and drank and then went to go and pray. I'm waiting for you to repent. I continue my message. Did I write that? So I see your Bible. The woman first ate and drank before she went to start the prayer. Yet God listened to her. Then she prayed and she did not shout. Did you notice? Her voice was so low. When Eli saw a mouse moving, and he didn't hear anything, he said, this woman must be drunk. You are getting the point? So God didn't listen to her now because she knew how to shout. Now, I'm just coming from a prayer meeting, all right? I've had two meetings today. One of them is a prayer meeting. And I noticed that we're three praying, and I was the one leading the prayer. We're praying about something. And I noticed that if you are passing by, it's only my voice you'll have heard. The two other people, one was on my left and one was on my right. That's because I was seeing them that I knew they were there. Because now you hear a small murmur, somebody just talking. And just before we finish the prayer, I don't know why. I just had this strong feeling that this prayer is very effective. Why? Because we are praying about something. I was the one leading the prayer. We're just taking this word of God out. And I'm just leading the people, this is what God says. Let's repeat the word to him. This is what he has said. Let's lift it up to him. And I just kept on doing that. And everyone was quiet because we're in a government office. So people didn't raise their voices. I'm not saying raising your voice is evil, but does not increase the efficacy of your prayer. That's what we are saying. Anna ate and drank and went and prayed. But the one thing I just want to bring out is her vow was a vow of connecting her will to that of God. It wasn't that of promising God something he lacked or he didn't know. It's something that God said is my own. She just yielded. That's why I brought this up again. Prayer is about yielding our will to God. It's not about taking our desire to God and say, God, you must approve this. No, it's about making ourselves subject to the desire of God, loving what he loves, desiring what he desires, and saying to him, let your desire be effective in my life. That's what prayer is. And that's why Jesus emphasized, prayer is only effective after the word has entered into you. Let me just end this, the gist of Hannah. We talked about it at length. You can get some of the message we are bringing from there, that we brought back from Port Harcourt. The last part of it is that, of course, we've talked about the vow briefly. And then after Eli spoke with her, Eli answered and said, go in peace. If you read modern translations, they tell you, may the God of Israel. It was not a prayer. What he said literally is this. Go in peace. The God of Israel grant you your petition. It was a declaration. It was a prophetic word. How do I know that? Look at how Hannah responded. Instantly, the Bible says, Hannah said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. That is, instantly she took hold of the word that the prophet of God in this situation released, and it changed her perspective of life. It changed how she reacted. After this point, Penina could not trigger this woman again. She had a new hope based upon a prophetic word that came to her. Are you getting my point here? Now let's just leave that. So I'm just going to use that one to emphasize that it is ours taking our will, subjecting our wills to the will of the Father. Now, let's read that, Matthew chapter 6. These are the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now let me just stop reading it there. Now I read this to bring out the issue of that will. He said, your will be done. It's not my will, it is your will. That is what prayer is. John said, this is the confidence we have towards him. That's 1 John chapter 5. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now let me just say this again. That will does not mean we leave it, God, anything you like, you do. That's not the meaning of asking according to his will. That is the judgment of God. God always does his judgment. Anything he decrees, nobody can subvert it. But why is praying his will a point in prayer if the will happened automatically? It is simply because it does not. What happens is that we have to consciously, we have authority on the earth, we have authority in our lives. What we do is to consciously take his will and pray it into existence. We convert our wills to his own will. And that's what we've been talking about this year and then the last few meetings, that we must learn the things that God said he wants to do. Bear it in mind. Last time we said, he said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. So God does not like, he can answer them, but really doesn't like us praying small prayer points. When we come to him, if you look at it, the issue of food, drink, but what do we wear? He said, say those things in a dismissive fashion. What does it mean by dismissive? All right, say it so that you know you have said it to the Lord. Say it once and leave it there. Because the Father knows the things that you need before you even ask him. Now, when we are coming to prayer, therefore, he wants us to ask for things that if your neighbor will hear, we ended last time with it, they will wonder whether you are okay. Do you understand? There's a story I've told many times. Pastor Tunde Bakare went to Pastor E. Adeboye, and he went and asked, because E. Adeboye will come to church, and as many pastors would let them know the need they have in the church, our keyboard is sounding like it has sore throat, and then the wind roof is leaking and stuff like that. So brethren, please remember, bring an offering for those things. And Tunde Bakare said he used to be provoked that why would pastor be coming to church and be asking for small money? So he went and met him and said, sir, pray for me that God will bless me. I want to end that announcement. I don't like that announcement. If God blesses me, I will be sure you don't have to announce like that again. So, Pastor Tunde Bakare and Pastor E. Adeboye blessed him, and the man left. And as soon as he left, God answered the prayer. And now what was the answer? They sacked him. The first thing that happened was that he was fired. So he came back to church and told his pastor, sir, I think you didn't tune the right frequency in that prayer. How did you mix the prayer? I said, pray that the Lord will bless me. This week I went to work, I got a termination letter. And then Pastor Adeboye started laughing. And he didn't know what was funny. I was sitting down on my own. I came to you to pray that God will lift me up. Now I have gone to prison. They have accused me of running after Potiphar's wife. Not only have they done that, you are laughing about it. Ask of me, and I will give you what? The nations. That's what I'm talking about. And then the man of God told him, I know what I prayed. I'm not using my own words now. I got the gear right. In fact, the prayer is working. It's just that the dose was too high. I prayed a large dose of prayer, and the result is so big, your office cannot accommodate it. So God needs to remove you from there so that you have space to accommodate the blessing. He said, what do I do? He said, you have been fired for such a time as this. So that God might manifest his blessing in your life. He said, go and start your own practice. He's a lawyer. All right. Then he was working somewhere else. And he said, you don't seem to realize this, sir. There is a law that bans people like me from standing on their own. I don't have enough experience, all right? He said, well, that's the only thing I have to say to you. So he went back home and he was praying. I think at a point in time, I don't know, let me make sure I get my story right, but at a point in time, a scripture dropped in his mind. Open your mouth wide and I will feel it. And he decided, no, this must be the word of the Lord. Are you getting my point? Now, let me make a long story short. He began to declare that word. Now, I'm going to add many things together because I don't have the details of the story. But I can imagine I began to ask God for something that he never thought of before. Before that, until the pastor said that to him, he did not think it a possibility for him to own his own practice. It was when he left that the possibility came to his mind, but there's a law banning it. But God moved angels. Next time he was watching TV, the Supreme Military Council had met and they had decided that that law was not necessary. He was watching TV and discovered that the decree had been wiped out. That now, if you're a lawyer younger than the one we thought about before, you can still own your own practice. And the first job he got, they paid him what he used to earn in 2 years. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Ask of me, and I will do what? I will give you the nations as an inheritance. So God has given us a prayer point in that area. Our will is not, look, the man wasn't thinking of it. It was God that brought up the idea to him. It was God's idea. It was not his idea. I hope you're getting my point here. And that's what we've been talking about. For us to interact with God's word. What is prayer? It's for me to subject my will to God's will. What is the will of God? The will of God is that, like Jesus said, thy will be done, all right, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I've explained this many times. The heaven aspect of that is not like it's being done in heaven. No, that's not what Jesus said. That will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. That will be done on earth as it's been predetermined in heaven. That will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. That was what he said. And now what do we have in our Bible? Our Bible is a revelation of the will of God. Do you understand my point here? That is why it is not possible to pray effectively except you read your scriptures. It is not possible to pray effectively except you know you get to know things. You know, yesterday, I was coming back from Makurdi. That was on Sunday, sorry. I just got a message and they told one of our very dear brothers they had been kidnapped. You understand? And I said, what? I was really, really provoked. I was very, very upset, you know. But I just went quiet. I began to pray in the car. I didn't see anything. I was driving with Tudechukwu and then, but I didn't see anything after that. But one scripture dropped in my mind. That's why I'm talking about it. One scripture, because that's why I pray these days. If you bring a matter to me, the first thing is, Lord, which scripture applies to this? That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Which scripture applies to this? And one scripture just swam into my mind. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. I knew it was the word of God. I immediately just typed a small prayer request to some of our brethren and said, please, I added a few scriptures to it. I pray. I thank God for many of the prayers we used to do, but that's how I pray these days. That's how I pray. I just find a few scriptures that the Lord had expressed his will concerning. Let me say something here. If you experience something in life that is different from what is recorded in scripture, what God is just saying, enforce your right. It's not saying, some people say, it now proves that this thing does not work. It doesn't prove it. It means your house has been broken into. Thieves are always trying to break in and steal. God left them on this earth. It means things have been broken into in your life. So it now says, enforce it. Why did he tell Adam, guard it and keep it? I mean, the way we look at it, everything was perfect that time, right? Yeah. But yet he gave him an instruction, guard it, keep it. How do you keep it if it does not look like there will be a reason to lose it? Why do you keep it if it doesn't appear like somebody is going to take it away from you? Why do you guard it if there will be no intruder? Guard it and keep it in a perfect environment. God was setting us up there to know that I give you something, somebody will try and collect it. When Jephthah was leading the charge, he told the people, that, look, when God gives you something, he said, when Chemosh, your God, gives you something, don't you possess it? He said, God has given us this land. It is now our duty to what? Possess it. And they were already in that land. Somebody wanted to dispossess them of the land. So they said, we must, there's dispossess, there's repossess. What is the thing between dispossessing and repossessing? We must possess. That's it now. There's nothing else. So they were saying, in effect, this one that we have like this, we must hold on to it. So you wake up in the morning and you are sick. It means there's what? an attack. Now, these attacks will come. It's not from your neighbor. I don't like using the word attack as if your neighbors are attacking you. No, it's not your neighbors. The Bible says your adversary, the devil, is going around seeking whom he may devour. This is a matter of fact. Many of the things you hear, I mean, when I say here now, you hear it in your body. It's a roar. He's trying to say, are you devourable? Then you wake up this morning, you don't think much about it. There's a headache there. It stays. Next day it comes. Ah, the thought is still there. It's a roar. It's the response everybody's waiting for. This headache. Is this not migraine? It's been here for 3 days though. It's on one side of my head. I think it's migraine. Yes, it is migraine. The devil said, this guy is devourable. So he tunes up the volume slightly. And in your mind, you are warning, let me wait it tomorrow. If it comes again the same time, I know it's migraine. Ah, the devil said, no, you don't need to wait. It is migraine. Your things have been attacked. So what are you supposed to do? Fight back. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we take the will and say, once that headache is there, look for the will of God. It's the same scripture we have learned for over 20 years, 30 years. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes, I have been healed. That's how you resist Satan. The fact that it's an attack does not mean you have lost the battle. It just means reinforce, counterattack, push back. That's all it means. That is all it means. What is prayer? Prayer is my will. I subject it to the will of the Father. What is my will? I want to whine and complain. What is my will? I want everybody to feel sorry for me. What is my will? Remember that joke? I want to send a text to the office. Please, sir, I involved in Okada accident. I'm still unconscious. I can't come to work. I mean, you not seen that joke? You guys, I'm still unconscious. That is my will. I want to find an excuse not to get up. I have an excuse now not to go to work. I have an excuse not to go to church. I have an excuse not to go to where I was supposed to go to. That's my will. But, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Thy will be done on this body, in this body that's on the earth, as it is recorded concerning it in heaven. How I feel, that's what I've been trying to emphasize for the last few meetings. How I feel is not how I generate prayer points. What I want is not how I generate prayer points. It is what is spoken. That matter I was telling you about, I just gathered the scriptures, put them together, forwarded to a number of people. Brethren, please pray along. This is what God has said about this situation. We take God's word. Are you getting my point? We elevate it. The circumstances around must not be allowed to make us change our minds. That's what I'm talking about. So just put the scriptures together as everybody, and believe me, that's how I pray these days. Anything come up, I find a word that God has spoken about the situation. And then I leave that word up. Let the word do what it wants to do. So we have been attacked. Well, not a problem. What are we supposed to do? Repel. Repel it what? The shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Both of them, the word of God. The fact that we are holding on to the word of God is the shield of faith. As we are uttering the word, lifting it up constantly, that's the sword of the Spirit. And remember, that word is alive. It can think. In this situation, he made the brother escape. Wow. That's how I've learned to pray these days. Take one word. This is the word. I need money. God sent 2,005, sent 2.5 million. I don't say that much anymore. I can discuss that with my wife. But the prayer is the scripture lifted. Lord, there is a situation. It is written, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things, I abound to every good work. That's it. He supplies my need according to his riches in glory, in Christ Jesus. I can repeat that 100,000 times. It is not vain repetition. It is the will. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? What is prayer? Prayer is, I take my will, I throw it aside. I take his will, and I make it my own. It's not how I feel. And what is that will? That's what we're talking about. The will is that which is revealed in Scripture. When it says, thy will be done, it was not something nebulous. It is that God has spoken something about every situation of life. How do you pray currently? You know, there's a small political issue in Nigeria right now. You know that? The president is ill. Now nobody is saying he went for a checkup anymore. He has gone back. Nobody's arguing over, is he sick? Is he not sick? Is he checked? Is he waiting for test results? Nobody is saying that anymore. Now, the next argument is that is the president, is the acting president an acting president or a coordinator? Then people will now sit down and decide it is a cabal that coined the letter. The senators have settled it that there's a constitution, the section that was quoted, and that section has solved the issue. But that's not our discussion. But Christians get distracted into those discussions. Who are members of the cabal? Father, in the name of Jesus, cabal, fall, be decabalized. You cabal. People say all kinds of things about cabal. Please, let me just say something here. Don't let politicians manipulate you. Don't let newspaper manipulate your prayer point. One of the best jokes I've heard read in recent times is the person who fell sick trying to see division between APC and PDP during Babangida's daughter's wedding. And he looked and looked and looked, and he fell sick because blood pressure rose too high. He couldn't see them dividing. So he saw Bola Tinubu sitting down beside Goodluck Jonathan, and he's wondering what happened. I enjoyed the joke. I really, really enjoyed it. There are many people in hospital right now because their heads can't understand. We are here fighting amongst ourselves. These men are there sitting down celebrating a wedding. And nobody is quarreling. What should the Christians say? That's what I'm saying. You pray what? The will of God. You don't pray your own will. You don't pray your own political persuasion. I like to say this even though it appears like a bit of bragging, but it's a matter of fact. The last election, everybody thought I was going to vote for the person I did not vote for. Why? Because when they heard me teach and heard me pray, they thought my prayer was leaning towards another party. Meanwhile, that was just truth I was praying. I was just praying, God, the person that will do this according to your word, this I wrote how to behave in time of election. People thought I was supporting one party. One of our brothers, when he heard who I voted for, he was surprised. He said, boss, I said, go and listen to my message carefully. It's just that while I was preaching truth, it seemed like I was saying something that you wanted to believe. You don't pray your political persuasion. You don't, listen, Israel, when they were going to be delivered from captivity, the person that delivered them was not an Israelite. He worshipped all kinds of gods. He told everybody, go and sacrifice to your God. You know why? God knows what he's doing. Because he wanted peace in his kingdom. So we thought that, you know, Cyrus, you know, let the oppressed go free. He let everybody go free, not only the Jews. He wanted, to him was that if you pray to your God, I will prosper. So he allowed the Jews to go and do that. And that was a fulfillment of the prophecy concerning their release. If they were supposed to choose the ruler, the ruler said, arise, O Lord, and raise the son of David. Let him ascend on the throne of Babylon, or of the Medes and the Persians. Let him become the ruler. The way you, of course, things they have seen before. The way you elevated Joseph in Egypt. Lord, let Joseph arise again. God said, the time of Joseph has passed. This is the time of Cyrus. This is the time of Darius. Forget all of these things. So that's why we don't pray our political persuasion. How do we pray for the country? It's simple. Because of the political crisis. Remember, the will of God must be prayed into existence. We don't assume it, we pray it. So, they tell you that is the president, vice president taking over? He's not taking over. Don't argue. Pray the will of God into existence. What is the will of God? You go to Daniel chapter 4 and you take that scripture. The Almighty rules in the affairs of man. Let me, I feel like reading it. Daniel chapter 4. Says upon it the lowliest of them all. Let's just read it. That is how you pray the will of God, though. When we're talking about the will of God, it's not just God, anything you like, do. That's not the meaning of the will of God. That's not the meaning of the will of God. The will of God simply means that which you have spoken, we authorize, is doing on the earth. Are you getting my point? Let's just read Daniel chapter 4. Let's read verse 7. So many of them. Let me just take the one I read. Okay, 17. All right. It says that this sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes, sets over it the lowliest of men. Very important verse of scripture. That is what Christians pray. That is what Christians pray. He repeated the same thing in verse 25. He said that 7 periods will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Those are the things that we pray. We keep declaring those words. He said, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Which means because of us, God is going to bring a ruler, all right, that will cause us to prosper. Are you getting my point? He says something here. He said, pray for the land in which I'm sending you into. He said, because in his prosperity, you will prosper. How do you pray for that land? Seek his good. Ask God for mercy for that land. He taught them. He said, this is how you, I wanted to pray. I wanted to pray for kings, for rulers, for those who are in authority, that you may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and all, in peace and godliness, whatever. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is this. We'll put those things together and use them to pray. First, we recognize that PDP does not choose the leader. Babangida, Obasanjo, and Absalami, they do not choose the ruler. They don't. They do not. Their decree is not what will come to pass, but it's the decree of the Almighty. Yes. We go to prayer with that attitude. Now, people say that, Lord, you will confirm Oshibajo as the president. That's a very, very wrong prayer point. That prayer point is not based on faith. That is how every pastor, not every, I was not one of them. As our most pastors were gathering to pray that good Lord Jonathan will win election. It didn't come from my mouth one time, even though I voted for him. And I was planning to vote for him. And my reason why I was going to vote for him was not because they were not corrupt. I knew this government was very funny. I had my other reason. I won't discuss it now. But those were my personal persuasions of unbelief. Do you know what I said? It's unbelief. Now, unbelief is when you are walking according to the flesh, according to the hearing of your ears. I wasn't walking by revelation, but you know what the discipline the Lord had taught me was that I did not spread my unbelief to you. As a pastor, never spread your unbelief to anybody. Are you getting my point? Even if you don't agree, speak the word of God. No, I know what I want to tell you. As a Christian, don't argue your opinion. Is that everybody's entitled to his own opinion, not including you. You are one person that God has removed the right to your own opinion from. You don't have your opinion. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I like that you're amen. It means you believe me. I don't have my opinion. I only have the word of God as my opinion. Because that's what's running the world today. People say that, gay people are not harming everybody. Who said they were harming somebody? If a man decides he wants to marry a man, that's none of your business. It's only in their homes. Did I say it was my business? Okay, what are you saying, therefore? I said God said it's an abomination. That's all I said. I didn't tell you what I thought. I read a book out to you. So what's your problem? Go and meet the author. You can quarrel with me that I'm a Christian. Yes, that's the personal quarrel. But as the opinion I hold, you can't. You can't quarrel with the opinion because it's not my opinion. I like the way, initially they ruffled the young pastor, but later he corrected himself. Joel Austin. First time, he was trying to. Next time, I was watching this one. He said, what do you think about homosexuality? He said, I don't know. God says it is wrong. It must be wrong. That day I said, this man, you have become wise. He said, I don't know. I respect everybody. We respect everybody. But if God says it's wrong, it must be wrong. It's not me. You know, it's God. You call me a pastor. No, I like the answer that day. The man didn't give his opinion. He gave God's opinion. That is how you should answer every situation. No matter how much you disagree. You know, because many things will come in your life that your flesh will disagree with from the beginning to the end. One day, your sister you love the most, who your father is fond of the most, will tell you that the guy she wants to marry is this fellow. And everything you don't like, that guy represents. According to the flesh. Except that when he opens his mouth, the word of God comes out. Is he born again? In fact, he's the gold standard for measuring born-againness. That's Standard Organization of Nigeria. They put him on a scale to use to measure everybody else. Yes, he's from Maiduguri. I know you don't like people from there. He's everything. In fact, he used to smoke Igbo until he gave his life to Christ 2 years ago. You don't like this guy. Let's be honest. And your sister said, what do you think? You just don't say anything, no. Just open his Bible. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Don't say anything more than that. And that is, he doesn't like where he's from. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Just hold your breath. When she goes away, Lord, you know I don't like the idea. When she comes back again, so what do you think? I've been praying about it, and henceforth, I know no man after the flesh. She mustn't hear your opinion. What are you doing with your opinion? No, pastors get carried away sometimes. Sister wants to marry, and you want her to marry. Then she now brings a man that's not born again.